sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas for those who I have not talked to since Monday. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony. It is December 29th, 2021. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm going to get right into the show because I got a challenge today. Someone that wants to guide me, pretty established podcaster, a million times more successful than me. No, it's not JD, but it's someone who I respect as well. Came out of left field and is going to guide me in 2022 to take 2 pounds of bologna and shove it in a 1 pound bag to tighten up the shows and take it to the next level. So my challenge that I received tonight was to get this show done in 1 hour, minus the, well, not including the intro, not including the outro. Those don't count. And if I could do it, then I have a whole bag of AEW and NXT goodies sent to me to give out to you. So let's do it. Oh, quick plug. New Year's Eve, I have decided, yes, we're going to do it. It's going to start 10 p.m. on Friday night. Yes, I will probably have Rampage going in the background. Then again, I may not, because not for nothing, the Bunny and Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay and Ty Conti in a street fight, because some of them aren't that polished to tell a story against more established female wrestler. We got to do street fights. But I will say this, you know, Ethan Page versus Cody, you know, it's not going to be a bad Rampage. Tonight's Dynamite was a lot of fun. We will talk about it. Before I do any of that, two things. Jim Ross, I am very happy to tell you, he announced it. I'm just relaying the message. He is now cancer-free. His last chemo appointment was yesterday. Now, I'm sure they got to do some additional tests just to make it official. You know, you don't just finish 22 chemos and then at the 22nd, hey, you're cancer-free. No, you got to do some tests. But for all intents and purposes, Jim Ross is cancer-free. Let's hope it stays that way. And the reason why I say that last part is because something that you may not even be aware of, because obviously the robots haven't cut and pasted yet. Don West is back in the hospital, and he is undergoing cancer treatment once again. His cancer is back. And if you remember when we talked about it last time, when you're talking about the brain, you're talking about certain parts of your body, man, it is very serious shit. So my thoughts and prayers are with Don West. I know a lot of you out there feel the same way. If you follow him on social media, send a message. Believe me when I tell you, it'll cheer him up. So it just, you know, that kind of bothered me today. To see nobody talking about it. Nobody. But then you'll get one person that'll post it, and then everybody will cut and paste. Oh, I guess it's time now for me to sound like I give a shit. Anyway, no, we're going to talk about John Madden on Friday, New Year's Eve. We'll talk about Toni Storm on Friday, New Year's Eve. Toni Storm, if she was still in NXT UK or NXT, then yes, I would talk about it tonight. But she was main roster. For those that don't know, Toni Storm is gone from WWE. She asked for her release, and it was granted. We will talk about that Friday. Now, we had two surprises tonight. One, I think we kind of expected to return sooner than later. Chris Jericho is back in AEW. I will tell you, was kind of funny to see him and Eddie Kingston arguing over LAX. They're my friends. No, they're my friends. No, they're my friends. No, they're my friends. You're in the inner circle. Why is it? Seriously, look, I understand, you know, I don't mind the dumb chatter because I think Jericho versus Eddie Kingston might be a lot of fun. But watching Eddie Kingston, like, they're my friends. No, they're mine. You're in the inner circle. No, they're my friends. But Jericho is back. Looks good. Gotten over the issue. Non-COVID, I might add. We'll have to bring up COVID in a second. I'm flying through the timestamps. See if we could do this in an hour. Hey, if we could chop these shows down a few minutes, I think people will enjoy being able to tune into every minute of every broadcast. It is a little unfair for me to expect you to tune into 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday, 2 hours on Wednesday, 2 hours on Thursday, 2 hours on Saturday. Come on. I know you all got lives. Something that made me a happy camper today. And Mish has not been online the last 2 days. I hope he didn't get COVID. He is under the weather with the flu at minimum. But I know somewhere tonight, Mish was smiling as well. Mercedes Martinez finally offered an AEW contract. She is now All Elite. Mercedes Martinez made an appearance today. And yes, I'll be the first to admit it because a lot of people out there are too afraid to criticize AEW in any way, shape, or form. See, in case you haven't figured it out, what a lot of people do online, they know, and yes, pun intended, they know there is no chance in hell that WWE management is ever going to acknowledge podcasters, bloggers, writers, fans, you know, individual wrestlers once in a while, but WWE management is never going to acknowledge these people. You could have podcasters and bloggers kiss their ass so hard. They could all join Vince McMahon's Kiss My Ass Club, make it a weekly membership, and they know they're not going to get any acknowledgement on social media. There are people out there holding out hope because Tony Khan is so interactive online. Oh, if I kiss his ass enough, then he'll recognize me. Brad Shepard tonight thinks that he is a star because CM Punk kind of called him out about the Brody Lee stuff. Fuck you, Brad Shepard. I want to be a positive influencer, not a dick. I don't want to get attention because of being a dick. You're a dick with a capital D, a big fat dick. And yes, I'm heavy as well. I don't think I'm a dick. By the way, I know some of you thought that Johnny Gargano was going to appear tonight. He's not. He's preparing for his wife's birth of their kid. But I still felt like showing some love to Johnny Wrestling tonight. She asked for a release, Lauren. Tony Storm asked for a release. So anyway, Mercedes Martinez, you know, 40 plus. And that's not breast size, that's age. I know for some of you out there, 40, Mercedes Martinez has been one of my favorite independent wrestling women for years. I had the privilege of watching her like 18 years ago, somewhere around then. If you ever seen that infamous photo of me with Tito Santana and Casey Blade of the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels playing Jose under the mask, that infamous picture, me holding the Intercontinental title, she was on the card that night. And loved to work, always loved to work. It was kind of funny that she was sort of dressed like Retribution tonight, you know, which I think is appropriate. Her allowing Jade Cargill to get the win, oh boy, you know, look, I have sung the praise for Jade Cargill for a long time. But I have said all along, too, she's not ready to be a champion yet. Because it's not only one thing to win the title, it's to defend the title. And Jade Cargill, what is she going to do? Is she going to squash Lisa Lips? You know, like, she's what's she going to do? Wrestle on Dark? Wrestle on Elevation? There's always going to be some cluster, you know what, interference. She's not ready yet. My God, if a lot of us feel that Liv Morgan is not ready to be women's champion, explain Jade Cargill to me. But again, a lot of people online are absolutely nervous to admit that because damn, they risk, you know, getting on the bad graces or people out there, you know, get accused, you know, why you got to put a black woman down? Because that's what people do. The guilt trips online. I fucking love Jade Cargill. She is going to be a future superstar, but she's not ready yet. And if you watch that match today, anybody will tell you she was not ready, not even close. They had to sell Thunder Rosa with the back. They had to sell Jade Cargill with the leg. They had to keep selling an injury to slow it down. Slow. As Big Daddy Kane used to say, be like Roy Rogers and slow down. So Mercedes Martinez, when the referee wasn't looking, because for some reason the referee got angry that the referee's got a bottle of fucking water. AEW, with all the clusterfuck stuff that goes on in the referees, he gets distracted because of a bottle of water. So Mercedes smashes something over the sugar bottle, over Thunder Rosa's head, Jade with the finish, the finisher, and Jade Cargill versus Ruby Soho next week for the TBS championship. By the way, programming reminder, next week, AEW Dynamite is on TBS. So if you've been DVRing episodes, make sure you change the channel. And look, everybody, there's not going to be a drop in the rating next week. I hate when something that we watch religiously every single week goes to another channel and people out there actually think that people are brain dead enough that they wouldn't know to change the channel the following week. Just think about that for a second. Think about that. You got AEW, you watch every single week. Imagine they'd have to be more brain dead than the Riddle character. Imagine next week, a diehard AEW fan turns on TNT. Oh, Shane Dynamite? What is this? Shane Dynamite? And they keep hitting TNT. You mean to tell me they're not going to go on Google? What happened to Dynamite? Everybody knows to switch it to TBS next week. Come on. When you remember those excuses? Well, the rating went down because people didn't realize they had to go to another network. In this age, I could see if it was 1993, even 10, 15 years ago. Oh, man. By the way, I got to share this. Since we've been having fun with Alberto El Patron, I think he is hitting a little bit too much of the coffee, Patron. This guy, I mean, after we just finished calling him a whack job on Sunday, you're finally acquitted. You are facing life in jail. What are you going to do next? Oh, I'm going to leave the history behind me. Everybody that tried to bury me, they are no longer matter. But Paige, if you open your goddamn mouth again, I'm going to show video of you beating my neck. Choking my neck, choking my chicken. This guy is a whack job. So Sports Kita smells Latino blood in the water. Hey, let's interview Alberto El Patron. Let's see if we can get this whack job to say something stupid again. And what does he say now? They ask him, hey, Alberto, what do you think? You think you'll end up in AEW? And his answer back was, yes, that's possible. I've been talking to a lot of people, just like I said earlier, and I know everybody. They've all been talking about it. They saw what happened. They know it wasn't fair to me. Be fair to Flair. My career, my life. So they were giving me an opportunity. Now I sound Japanese. So it's just a matter of time that something gets put together and he is all elite. Everyone, I will run down my street wearing nothing but a pasty around my genitals, and I will have somebody videotape it or record it. That's the more 2021 term. And I will stream it. If Alberto El Patron ever gets a contract in AEW, they ain't no way. But props to Sports Kita for getting that. Props for them, because I look at that and I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me. Best wishes go out to Jake the Snake Roberts. He has been hit with COVID. I hear he's in good spirits. A few people that are in wrestling have talked to him personally. He's a little more confused as far as how he got it. And look, we just had that conversation on Patreon yesterday that you're going to hear more and more people that are going to be like, wait a minute. I've hardly been around anybody. How the hell did I get Omicron? How did I get COVID? That's how crazy this virus is right now. It's almost like this virus has wings. It somehow stays in the air longer, and it always seems to reach. You know, what do they say? Like, right after a woman's time in a month, that's when they're most fertile. So, like, if you don't want to get somebody pregnant, the last thing you want to do is have unprotected sex right after the period. That's pretty much what Omicron is right now. We're all basically vaginas right after a period, and it's the sperm just floating around, just nailing you every time. Prayers go out to Jake the Snake Roberts. I hope that it was Omicron and not Delta. Jake has turned his life around, man. Cleaned up his act. And the last thing you want to hear is somebody getting knocked down because of his stupid freaking virus, you know? I heard he's okay. I heard he's not doing bad. Obviously, he's got a quarantine for a little while. We don't know if it's Delta or if it's Omicron. But I hear that he's in very good spirits and he's doing well. So let's leave it at that. You know what? I'll plug this now. I was going to do it a little bit later, but new podcast alert for everyone. Theme Parks and Things with SRH John. Happy 2-month anniversary, my friend. Do I think it's fair? WWE gets heat following the CDC, but AEW gets nothing when CM Punk is jumping into fans. How do you compare one? This is honestly my respectful answer to you. Ask that to the people who give WWE a bad break. Ask the people that are stupid enough to do that. I don't do that. I can't speak for them. There's so much foolishness going on online. People don't want facts. It happened today with the Tony Storm stuff. There are people that insist that WWE fired her so they could say, oh my God, this amazing talent, how the fuck did they screw that up? No. So now, because it shoved down their throat that Tony Storm requested a release, well, can you blame her? With pies in the face, can you blame her? Minga, you give me $160,000. You could throw pies in my face. You could give me wet willies. You could throw anything in my face. Give me Rikishi's ass. I'll do it for $160,000. Oh, my God. Pie. Look, the pie in the face stuff sucked. It was stupid. It sucked. This is kid-friendly entertainment. I'm trying to understand it. I don't like it, but people forget you're getting paid pretty nicely. So, no, I can't answer for those people. You have to ask those people. I don't speak for them. I never will speak for them. Brian Becerra, happy 10-month anniversary to you, my friend. Great to see Jim Ross back in the commentary desk. Where should Toni Storm go now since she's released from WWE? Well, you know, she's engaged. I don't know what she wants to do. Maybe she's homesick. Maybe she wants to go overseas. I even said, you know, could you imagine if she ends up back in NXT UK where she probably had her greatest run? You know, I do not want to speak for Toni Storm. I don't know what's in her mind. But I wish her nothing but the best. I wish her nothing but the best. Shout out to AS7607. No message she posted, but I will post the message. I will fill it in for her. Hey, DT, you didn't email me yet, DT. I know. Today, I got so bogged down with work that, you know, it was a little crazy. And now with New Year's Eve, tomorrow is my last day at the office. I'm closed Friday. So I will definitely email you tomorrow, sweetheart. And I hope you're doing better. So, all right. I was going to wait until later to put this up. But since one third of the show is already over, I want to plug it now. And this looks pretty cool, man. If you want to check this out. The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy. No, it's not a book. That is a podcast that is going to be debuting on January 7th. It's going to be co-hosted with Matt Hardy and John Alba. John Alba, one of the good guys out there in journalism world. He has been doing some work lately, I believe, with Conrad, right? So he is now going to be co-hosting a podcast with Matt Hardy. It debuts, I believe it's a Friday, January 7th. So good luck to both of them. Good luck to both of them. John does great work, and Matt Hardy, I mean, I love his work, obviously. So, yeah, everybody's doing a podcast, Benjamin. Why not? Why not? If people tune in, why not? You mean to tell me, with Matt Hardy's career, you mean to tell me that you wouldn't sit back and just love soaking in, talking about all his years in wrestling, before wrestling, now? Come on. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I love that. Love that. So, tonight we'll run through Dynamite pretty quickly. We'll talk about the preview for Rampage, next week's Dynamite's announced matches. And I will give you my New Year's Evil predictions. Now, there's only four matches announced. We don't know if AJ Styles and Grayson Waller will end up being a match. We'll do a prediction for that one in case they have a match. You know, I should have had this on cue, and I'm a little bit tardy. I should have put this up sooner. I know I talked about it over the weekend, but I want to show it to you now because I know some of you, you know, don't tune into every single minute of the shows, but it was something that I brought up following last Wednesday's AEW Dynamite. And we brought it up either Thursday or Saturday show. I don't remember which day. But you remember last week, that moron that was in attendance for Dynamite that had that transphobic sign making fun of Nyla Rose? Well, you know, I know Cornette, you know, doesn't agree with it. And I know a lot of people out there thought that AEW went too far by ejecting the person. I want to remind everyone about this. And I know, like I said, one of the other shows last week, I posted this, but I want to post it here for the Wednesday shows. Be reminded of something that we talked about earlier this year. Anybody remember this? The AEW fan code of conduct. That is on their screen before every show that they do. This has been up there for months and months and months and months and months. This fan that was in attendance was not buying a knish when this was on the screen. He was not doing duty in the bathroom when this was on the screen. He had the opportunity to change his mind, and he did not. And for those in audio only, the fan code of conduct says, and I quote, any obscene or offensive gestures, signage, or clothing, including the use of such language or gestures concerning a person's race, ethnicity, color, gender, religion, creed, disability, age, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, or national origin, or to instigate, incite, or encourage a confrontation or physical assault. They do not allow any of it. And it goes on and on. No drugs, no alcohol, no this, no that, no this. Failing to follow the instructions, you know, could result in being ejected, you know, law enforcement, you know, damaging the property. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, here's the other one. Behavior that is unruly, disruptive, threatening, or illegal in nature, foul, harassing, or abusive language, anything, smoking. You're not allowed. Sports events do this. Some concerts do this. This is their fan code of conduct. Don't like it, don't go. Plain and simple. All right. Now, let's get back to AEW Dynamite. And speaking of gender, race, and everything that we just said, how many days, or should I take that back, how many hours before we get "I'm a black bitch" on a shirt? I don't know if you all saw the latest Cody shirt where it says heel with an empty box, babyface with an empty box, winner, and his nightmare ugly tattoo is checked off next to it. I don't have the screenshot of the shirt yet. To be honest with you, I was busy picking food out of my teeth, so I didn't have the time to download it before. But, you know, Brandy showing a little bit of spark. Dan Lambert basically calling her a stripper. You know, of course, the fans are going to get behind Brandy a little bit. Didn't work with Cody. We might as well throw Brandy out there and see. And Brandy got booed in the beginning of that segment with Dan Lambert. But in the end, it was a fun segment. Brandy did a fine job. Dan Lambert did a fine job. You know, Brandy even, what did she say? I wrote it down. She called, I want to get it exact. She called Dan Lambert an ugly ass, bobble-headed, less talented version of Paul Heyman. Oh! Now I sound like Isaiah Cassidy. Oh, JR, man. JR wanted to say the little girl term, but he couldn't. You know, he was very, very, he called Isaiah a banshee. For those that don't know, we had the, we'll get back to Brandy in a little bit, but we had the 10-man tag to open up the show. We had the Lucha Bros, Christian Cage, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. They lost to Matt Hardy, Private Party, and FTR. There was one point during the match where the Lucha Brothers were in the ring, and Penta was going to attack Isaiah Cassidy, and Isaiah Cassidy screamed at the top of his lungs. And JR, I guarantee you, wanted to say he sounded like a little girl, but he instead said that he sounded like a banshee, which I thought was pretty freaking hilarious. Now, if you paid close attention to that opening 10-man tag, you could see almost immediately that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus was going to be taking on the Lucha Bros for tag titles next. In fact, props to everybody on Twitter that recognized it right away. For no reason at all, Penta tags himself in. You know, he basically, with the blind tag, brings himself in the match. The commentators point that out. Oh, Jungle Boy, Christian, they don't look too happy at Penta tagging himself in. Why not? We watch 6-man, 4-man, 10-man tag matches all the time. Rey Fénix and Penta always blind tag each other to do moves. Penta does it. For some reason, there's something majorly wrong. Soon as the commentators said that, a lot of people online, oh, dissension. We got our next tag team title match, and sure enough, that's what ends up happening. We had a really fun match to open it up. Yeah, a little bit of a clusterfuck, to be honest. But in the end, we had Christian eating the pin. Jungle Boy took out a few members of the Hardy family office. Rey Fénix took out a few others. I hope Rey Fénix is okay. But Christian, with the blind tag on Penta, and they're exchanging words. And what happens? Christian eats the double team work of FTR, and Christian is pinned. So the 10-man tag is over. Later on, they're arguing in the back. Christian issues the challenge to the Lucha Bros on behalf of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for the tag belts, and that match is happening next week. You know, obviously, lines are prepared in advance, and some of them absolutely hit, and you had that line thrown the Jungle Boy, you know, that, hey, you know, if you're the future, you should get rid of the past, meaning Christian. And Christian has eaten a couple of pins. So right now, Christian is helping guide, you know, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. You don't see much of Marco Stunt anymore. And ultimately, you know, what happens with Christian? Is Christian more going to be in a managerial role? Is Christian going to break away from them? We don't know. But it was a fun little match to open up. Next, we had Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz taking on 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. And look, not for nothing, man. They're using 2.0 the best they possibly can. 2.0 is better suited like in skits, little comedy stuff. Daniel Garcia has grown on me. I think a lot of people were surprised to have 2.0 and Daniel Garcia get the win. And sure enough, because they don't want to hurt the credibility of Santana and Ortiz and give the illusion that they're, you know, buried in any way, which they're not, what do we have? We have Matt Lee with the grabbing of the tights, cheating to win. You know, oh my God, how dare you do that in AEW? There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. So this match was more of a, I don't want to say traditional six-man tag. I mean, you had some brawling outside the ring as well. But what ends up happening, Santana tried to do a springboard off of Ortiz onto Matt Lee, but Matt Lee got the knees up. So with Santana writhing in pain, Matt Lee, you know, with the fruit roll-up, grabbing the tights, gets the win. After the match is over, the beatdown continues, and we have Daniel Garcia knocking out Santana with the ring bell. Eddie Kingston tried to stop it. He got laid out a little bit. And it was just a little odd because I don't know if maybe Jericho was a little late coming in, and I'm not saying it was his fault, but they waited until Daniel Garcia laid out Santana to have Jericho's music hit. Jericho hits the ring with Floyd, and I don't know if anybody picked up on it. A couple of my buddies, we were chatting online, and a couple of them picked up on it too. When Jericho was waving Floyd like that, that's what Leatherface, Super Leatherface, used to do. Remember, Corporal Kirshner passed away last week. We paid tribute to him over the weekend. When he would come out with the chainsaw, that's what he would do. And just to show you how much I remember it, when he used to come out with the chainsaw and swing it like that, you would see it. It looked like you would have thought that somebody with this mega, mega COVID virus, like if Andre the Giant had COVID and Andre was in front of all these little Japanese fans and Andre went, whoa. You know, just a loud, they bolted for the exits. He would swing around the chainsaw and they would book. You would have thought Godzilla was in the building. So Jericho, I think, with a little tribute. We could be wrong, but I think it was a little tribute to Super Leatherface tonight. So he hits the ring. And like I said before, Eddie Kingston arguing with Jericho. They're my friends. They're my friends. Put them on a forklift. AEW, I dare you. I dare you. Put LAX, Santana and Ortiz, put them on a forklift. Let's let them have battle out for the rights of Santana and Ortiz. MJF with a promo in the back. Wardlow sitting on a sofa. Sean Spears next to MJF. The storyline continuation of Wardlow breaking away from MJF continues. Now they are doing the Face of the Revolution ladder match. And the winner gets a shot. I don't know if it's for the TNT title or the heavyweight title. but it's the face of the Revolution ladder match. And Wardlow apparently is in the match. MJF has something in the contract which Mark Sterling reads that pretty much says that if Wardlow wins, he gives the championship to MJF. Kind of like Ted DiBiase with Andre the Giant. So Wardlow is not happy about it. Sterling is reading the clause. And then later on, we have Wardlow with four power bombs on Colin Delaney. Crowd getting behind Wardlow. Shades of 9-1-1 in ECW 1994-95. Wardlow looks like $1 million. How come they can't push the other monsters like that? So Wardlow, a little pissed off in the back, takes it out on Colin Delaney. One stupid, stupid move. I don't know if you picked up on it. Me, I'm a stickler to detail. I'll give you an example. I didn't say it earlier. It's not a big deal, but I'll bring it up since we're talking about refs. There was one point in the opening 10-man tag where Rey Fénix was in the ring with Penta. Penta flipped Rey Fénix onto Isaiah Cassidy. So Aubrey Edwards is right there in the middle of the ring, and Rey Fénix is pinning Isaiah Cassidy. Rey Fénix is pinning Isaiah Cassidy. Penta goes in the other corner, and I'm looking at the pin attempt, and I look at Aubrey Edwards, and what do you see? Like somebody that's on a puppet with the strings. Just ignores the pin attempt. So more dopey referee stuff today. Colin Delaney selling the power bombs. The referee is helping Colin Delaney to the back. The referee must be in the pocket of MJF because while he's helping Colin Delaney to the back, because the timing was off, the referee just decides to... He moves backward and stops helping Colin Delaney, and Sean Spears hits Colin Delaney with a chair. And then we get the wide camera angle because we're supposed to forget about it 5 seconds later. More referee dopiness tonight. Kyle O'Reilly in the back with Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, Bobby Fish, Brandon Cutler apparently recording it. And Kyle O'Reilly wants to talk to Adam Cole. Adam Cole tells the Young Bucks, you could leave, I got this. Kyle O'Reilly tells Bobby Fish, you could leave, I want to talk to Adam Cole one-on-one. Kyle O'Reilly, you know, we have heat with each other, you know, carrying over from their NXT history. And I know Bobby Fish has my back. I don't know if you'll have my back tonight. And he walks off. So Adam Cole tells Brandon Cutler, turn it off. So to plant that seed for what's going to happen later on. Fine segment. No issues whatsoever. Now we got Dan Lambert cutting that promo, shooting down AAA on Anderson. Says he used to be a horseman. Now he's just a whore. Talks about Brandy. First Brandy that he knew that wasn't a stripper. I think Ethan Page then says, first Brandy that we knew that wasn't an active stripper. Brandy comes out, boos galore. But she turned those boos around because she was smooth on the rank. And listen, you get somebody pissed, you don't even have to go to promo school. You get somebody pissed off and they'll just start eating your ass up. And I don't mean that physically. And she started going off on Dan Lambert, the bobbleheaded, less talented Paul Heyman. And those boos continued. But then Lambert, you know, says to her, you know, I prefer Jim Cornette. So, you know, Jim's going to talk about it. But then they go back and forth. And Brandy, with obviously those choreographed pre-written lines. Hey, Dan, when was the last time you got beat up from a girl and didn't have to pay for it? I'll do you a favor tonight. And Dan Lambert starts reading off that he's a black belt and this, this, and that. And Brandy's like, you may have a black belt. if you have a black belt, then I'm a black bitch. And the crowd pops. Ethan Page with a cheap shot to Dustin, who had come out in the middle of all of this, and they walk off. Excellent, excellent segment. Did exactly what it needed to do. No sign of Cody, which is probably the right way to go as well. As we said earlier, Jade Cargill beats Ruby Soho to advance in the tournament for the finals. Excuse me, Jade Cargill beat Thunder Rosa. And next week, Jade Cargill will take on Ruby Soho. Now, you remember last Wednesday when we talked about Ruby? And we said there's something about Ruby that she does better than any other woman on that roster. Do you remember what we talked about? Do you remember my reactions? Ruby sells pain. And she knows she has the wherewithal that if a move is botched, she will sell pain. If you remember last week when Nyla Rose took forever to hit her with the knee and it came off really sloppy, when she hit the mat, she immediately... And she sold it for the rest of the match. She did a fabulous job. She's going to have to pull all of that out next week, because Jade, with her very, very slow, methodical offense, Ruby's going to have to put on the puppy eyes, the pain. There's going to be some serious pain dished out next week. Now, obviously, it was up to me. Brandy should stay out of the women's title picture. And right now, you may think that Brandy is not in the women's title picture. Give it a couple of months. Give it a couple of months. Very quietly on Dark and Elevation, she's going to start piling up some quick, quick victories. You watch. So you have Britt Baker with the AEW Women's Championship, and she pretty much has a stranglehold on that. A lot of people think that Britt Baker is going to feud with Thunder Rosa eventually. They have to have Thunder Rosa go for a title. You cannot be in these tournaments and have bullshit finishes repeatedly. So if Ruby Soho wins this belt next week, who's going to feud with Ruby Soho? Maybe Mercedes Martinez to start? Maybe Brandy? I guarantee you by February or March, and it'll get here a lot quicker than you think. She's going to be fighting for one of those titles. TBS title is the title she should be going for. So we will see. We will see. Have a great night. AS, shout out to Lion, Darren, Twix, Austin, Michael, Adrian, everybody else chatting right now. So, Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, they tried. They tried. And Thunder Rosa walked her through as much as she can. They went to a commercial break, and if you looked at it closely, there were points where they just both didn't know what to do. And you saw Jade and Thunder Rosa going like this in a ring, like facing each other. Like you could just see that there was just confusion there. At one point, Jade used the wrong leg. Thunder Rosa was working on a left leg, and Jade had used the left leg in a big offensive move, and the commentators even said, like, well, that's adrenaline, this and that, you know, to try to cover it up. But towards the end of the match, they started picking up the pace. But I thought that Mark Sterling was going to throw in the towel, because personally, I think people would prefer to have Ruby versus Thunder Rosa in the finals instead of Ruby versus Jade Cargill. But if Ruby is destined to become that champion, what would you rather have? Thunder Rosa get pinned by Ruby, or Thunder Rosa get hit with a sugar bottle? See, getting hit by a sugar bottle, anybody would be knocked out. Not really a sugar bottle, but the perception of a real bottle. So honestly, as much as I don't want to see Ruby versus Jade next week, I'd rather see Thunder Rosa lose the way she did tonight than get pinned clean by Ruby Soho. And Ruby has to be the champion because down the line, like I said, she's going to have a title defense against Brandy. That's coming sooner than you think. She's going to have title defenses against some of the heels since they're not taking on Britt Baker. CM Punk comes out, talks about Jim Ross's return, puts over Daly's place, first time he was ever there, mentions Brody Lee because this was the anniversary of his passing over the weekend. He says, and anybody that disrespects Brody Lee, never met the man. Then he starts talking about internet trolls. He says, MJF is nothing but an internet troll. He opens his mouth and then he hides. But the thing that sucked about this whole promo is what we feared. It seems like MJF and CM Punk's feud may be over for now. Because CM Punk is like, oh, MJF wants to say it's over? That's fine. And he wants to become champion. He throws a little shot at Tim Tebow that MJF is a bigger waste of money, con money, than Tim Tebow, which got a little pop from the crowd. But CM Punk wants to be champion. So it does seem like they have moved on from there. I'm hoping that they change their mind and keep that feud going much longer. But right now, you could see that little shift. Ricky Starks cutting a promo on Dante Martin. Hikaru Shida cutting a promo on Zarina Deeb. During a commercial break, Sammy Guevara, with his New Year's resolution, was to regain the TNT Championship. Brian Pillman Jr. issuing the challenge to Malakai Black. And that segment was kind of crappy, man. Brian Pillman Jr.'s promo was fine. The lights go out. Malakai Black is on the rampway. Malakai points to Brian Pillman Jr. The lights go off. And when they come back on, Malakai wasn't completely in the back yet. And you could see him just casually walking to the back. It was just very, I don't know. It fell fucking flat. So that match will be taking place next week. In fact, for those that are interested, next week we will have Brian Pillman Jr. versus Malakai Black, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy versus the Lucha Bros for the tag titles, Ruby Soho versus Jay Cargill for the TBS Women's Championship, Hangman Page versus Brian Danielson for the AEW heavyweight title. And as I said before, and I will add to it now, I expect Hangman Page versus Brian Danielson to go the distance. I hope they change their mind about judges. If they go with judges, I expect one to go in favor of Hangman Page, one to go in favor of Brian Danielson, and one to be undecided, and it leads to another draw. That's what I expect next week. I hope they change their mind about the judges. I know people will spin it to be like, oh, NWA did it 20 years ago. Yeah, and my cousin ate shit 20 years ago. Does that make it better? I mean, I'm not saying that the judges were bad 20 years ago. It was horrible in TNA, but come on. Guardian of Chaos. He's with the Super Chat, the 10 spot. Thank you very much, my friend. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. My thoughts on transgender athletes competing in women's sports. Not necessarily pro wrestling, but high school, college, Olympics. He believes it's unfair for female athletes. Well, I'll say it like this, my friend, without trying to cause controversy. If you go through the whole process of surgery and you are now identified as a woman, I have no argument with it. I have no argument with it. I mean, yeah, I don't want to compare it to Mrs. America, but in order to become a Mrs. America, you have to be married, I believe. I mean, I'm not trying to compare marriage with gender surgery. My point is, if you are identified as a woman, you know, legally identified as a woman and gone to, I can't argue with that. Wrestling is entertainment. Wrestling is entertainment. It's all about perception. Tell me why a female has to wrestle only a female or someone identified as a female. You know, No, I don't agree with it in sports. You know, we always hear these crazy things on the news that, oh, someone who identified themselves as a female was in the women's locker room and, you know, sexually attacked somebody. You know, I'm sure some people with criminal intentions will think, oh, my God, all I got to do is identify myself as a woman. But no, somebody that truly identifies themselves and goes through the surgery and the whole process and is legally identified as a woman, I have no issue with it. That's my honest answer. Thank you. Hopefully I didn't cause any controversy. I'm just giving you my opinion. So we have about 15 minutes left. Remember, we keep five extra minutes for the intro and the outro. If you want to check out the ratings for this week, they are on the ticker below. As you can see, NXT 2.0 with an impressive rating. I will bring that up again in a few moments. So I expect Hangman and Bryan Danielson to go to distance next week. And I think that's the first match in TBS history. The first match in WWE ECW history was my buddy, Timmy Austin, which is a Trivial Pursuit question. But I think looking back on it, I probably would not have wanted him as the first ever match in WWE's ECW. The first ever match on TBS for Dynamite. Yeah, give him Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page. I know time flies when you're having fun, Dream, right? But remember, I'll be back here Friday, 10 o'clock. We will go until about 12:30 or 1 a.m. We will celebrate New Year's Eve here. And we'll talk about that when I close out the show. So the main event tonight, Orange Cassidy and Best Friends versus Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. I mean, he had some chance for Undisputed. And I laughed at people that were making a big deal about it online. They're in fucking Florida. They're 140 miles away from the Capitol Wrestling Center. Of course, Florida. That's the best place to debut Kyle O'Reilly in AEW. You do it in freaking Florida. That was smart. The match was okay. Sorry, everybody. Chuck Taylor does not do it for me. Seriously. I'm not going to say it. By the way, look, because we're doing a short show today, I got a little Pellegrino bottle. I can't stand Chuck Taylor. I don't care who's his mom. If it's Sue the mom, the caravan, a limousine, a Cadillac, a Hummer. If Sue was a horse. The guy is just like the typical generic wrestler that has ability, but he's got zero charisma, in my opinion. You know, he just, I don't know, his hair is disheveled. He just, I don't know, I just can't get into him. Orange Cassidy, you know, when do people start calling him a moron that every time he puts his hands in his pockets, he gets laid out? You know, I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But we had a fun match. But the story of this match was Adam Cole is outside the ring, back and forth with Chuck. I'm going to call him Chuck Chopped from now on because my father owns a deli. And the cheapest chopped meat that you could sell is Chuck Chopped. You could get sirloin chopped meat. You could get, you know, mixed for meatloaf, beef, pork, and lamb, I think it is. You could make, you know, like the trio for meatballs and stuff. Chuck Chopped is ghetto chopped meat. From now on, we call him Chuck Chopped. So Chuck Chopped is outside the ring with Adam Cole, and they're going at it. So back in the ring, we have Kyle O'Reilly, and he's going at it with Orange Cassidy. Bobby Fish gets involved a little bit. But what ends up happening is Kyle O'Reilly goes for, a super kick, and he hits Adam Cole, who had just climbed up their apron, accidentally knocks out Adam Cole. So Kyle O'Reilly's in the ring, and the Young Bucks appear. Now, Brandon Cutler, I mean, talk about dumb diversions. For no reason, Brandon Cutler comes out with the spray. He goes to spray best friends. He gets laid out. The referee is tending to Brandon Cutler. So while the referee is distracted, the Young Bucks come out. They super kick both members of best friends. And sure enough, Kyle O'Reilly pins Chuck Chopped. And we go off the air with Adam Cole with the Young Bucks up the rampway. And Adam Cole is pissed off at Kyle O'Reilly. And they're teasing this dissension because the Young Bucks are not happy about Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly with Adam Cole. Because even in the promo earlier, oh, this is supposed to be great. We're all together. You didn't even say hello to us, Kyle. Oh, hi, Matt. Hi, Nick. So that's the storyline. Adam Cole, you know, not sure. And we go off the air like that. Not a bad Dynamite. Fun Dynamite. Just flowed really, really well. So Rampage this Friday, we have Cody versus Ethan Page for the TNT Championship. Darby Allin versus Anthony Bowens. And the Bunny and Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay and Ty Conti in a street fight. Now, I'll tell you something that's odd. Somebody interviewed Tony Khan earlier today, and Tony Khan made a remark that this Friday's Rampage is going to be the greatest in Rampage history. Not disrespecting that card, but unless we got something majorly going down, some swerve, some major storyline, some appearance by someone, I don't know where that comes in. Now, it's pre-taped, so I'm going to look at the spoilers tonight. I will not put spoilers on the shows. You don't have to worry. But I'm curious, what the hell was he talking about? So, all right, NXT from this past Tuesday. Grayson Waller over Odyssey Jones. I'm a little concerned about Odyssey Jones. Just saying, a little concerned. Harland over Andre Chase. I know what you're saying. Wasn't Harland supposed to take on Brian Kendrick? Yes. We don't know the reason why. I think we could speculate the reason why. Hopefully Brian Kendrick is okay. Tiffany Stratton in her in-ring debut over Fallon Henley. Yeah, it was not a good match. The ending was kind of crappy. But again, this is developmental. Everybody's got to start somewhere. This is her first match. Stop comparing it to Hook and everybody else. She does not have, her daddy is not Taz. Her daddy is not a professional wrestler that's been training her all through her life. This is still all new to her. Give her a fucking break. Solo Sikoa over Santos Escobar. And they're doing a little bit of a storyline here with Zion, basically giving ultimatums for Electra Lopez. It's either Legado del Fantasma or me. Von Wagner over Malik Blade. And then, because we did not have Toxic Attraction on the card, don't know the reasons why, maybe kept off for, you know, to be cautious with this COVID going around. Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade, they were in the title match next week. But they did a swerve where they had to wrestle a tag match against Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray. And whoever wins that match will then face Mandy Rose next week at New Year's Eve. So Raquel and Cora Jade get the win. Little dissension between the two. So this was basically to eat up a week. So not much changed because of that. So now we have New Year's Evil. And before that, NXT, their rating. 662,000 viewers, up 12%. In the last 2 weeks, it is up about 18%. So I think that's a great number for a developmental now and getting a decent number like that. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So, decent increase in the ratings. Now, Rampage. I want to bring up Rampage because Rampage for Christmas Day did 589,000 viewers. And that is up only 3% from the week before, but it was Christmas Day. And not everybody was thinking about wrestling Christmas night. I could guarantee you that I certainly wasn't. I was not on looking at the TV. I watched it on Sunday. But I ask you the same question I've been asking for about 6 months now. Is Rampage better suited on a Saturday night at like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, even 8 o'clock? Me personally, I'd rather see Rampage at 6 o'clock. I think Saturday night at 6 o'clock, some people will say to me, oh, what about football? Or what about basketball? Or what about college sports? Well, I remember watching NWA and WCW when I was a kid at 6:05 on TBS. Well, there was no college sports at that time. So I personally think, you know, that, you know, there was an interview with Tony Khan a few weeks ago that they were asking everyone if you want to send in questions. And I submitted a question, first time I ever did. And my question was, Tony, would you ever consider moving Rampage to Saturday nights, 6 or 7 p.m.? Wasn't answered. I didn't think anything I sent in would ever be answered. But I personally think Rampage would do so much better on a Saturday night, 6 o'clock, instead of a Friday night at 10 o'clock. That's just my personal view. I'd love for in the comment section if you could share your thoughts. I personally think that's what they should do. So, our final comment for tonight, predictions. NXT New Year's Evil. Only 4 matches announced. They're teasing AJ Styles confronting Grayson Waller. I hope there's a match. Tommaso Ciampa defending the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Bron Breakker. I will say what I've been saying for a while. You cannot look at Bron Breakker and look at him as an absolute rookie. Technically, he is a rookie. But when you're around Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner for most of your adult life, even if you were in football, even if you were in an entirely different profession, I guarantee you that guy has been wrestling in some capacity in the house with family for years. So he obviously is doing spectacular. And I personally think that, yeah, I think you start off 2022 with a new champion. Because where do you go from here if Tommaso Ciampa retains? He's going to feud with Von Wagner. He could feud with Grayson Waller. I personally think you can give it to Bron Breakker. So the last pay-per-view I said Bron Breakker was too soon. But he proved to me that he can hang, or the pay-per-view before. And then they have War Games, and he did a great job as well. I think, yes, put it on Bron Breakker. And no, Triple H won't be at home. They finally killed my legacy. Ciampa, the legacy, it's over. It's not. When people keep saying like, oh, when somebody goes to the main roster, they're changed, they're abused, they're ripped apart, they're not the same person as a... Bro, do I need to say any more? Speaking of Riddle will be teaming up with MSK to take on Walter and Imperium. Motherfucker, I've been saying this for the last 2 or 3 years, that they needed to have some people on the main roster make some appearances, even before they moved to 2.0. Give me more of that, please. Riddle teaming up with MSK against Walter and Imperium. That's going to be freaking awesome. I'm going with Walter and Imperium to get the win. I'm taking them to get the win. Mandy Rose will retain the women's championship against Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade. I believe Mandy Rose will pin Cora Jade. I know there's a lot of people that are fantasizing Cora Jade as champion. If I said Liv Morgan is not ready and Jade Cargill is not ready, Cora Jade certainly isn't ready. What's the rush? Because it's the holiday spirit and it would just feel good. What a way to begin 2022 with Cora as the champion. Roderick Strong, the Cruiserweight champion, versus Carmelo Hayes, the North American champion, unification match. I want Carmelo Hayes to have that title. Roderick Strong, yes, a lot of people think Undisputed Era, oh, he's the missing piece. No. Remember my history about the Undisputed Era last week? Roderick Strong is doing just fine. I just don't feel Diamond Mind with Roderick Strong as the champion. It's just not cutting it for me. I would love to see Carmelo Hayes win this unification match. I just got this bad feeling that Diamond Mind is going to get involved. You might have Dexter Lumis get involved. I think in the end, Roderick Strong has the title. He wins the unification match. And AJ Styles confronting Grayson Waller. I don't know if this is going to turn into a match. Obviously, Grayson Waller is really looked at highly on WWE's list. You know, I said it last week. I'm just not feeling Grayson Waller. I said it Monday. There's just something that's not connecting with me. Then I watched NXT and I said, yo, motherfucker, I think I figured it out. Do I have it here? Do I have it here? I don't think I have it here. I'll have to show you Tuesday. I don't have it here. Shit. I just thought about it, but I don't have it here. I'll show it to you on Thursday. Don't ask me why I have one here. Do you know who he reminds me of? If you look at him head on, he reminds me of Vanilla Ice. If you look at his face and his cheekbones and the way his hair is, he looks a lot like Vanilla Ice. And I guarantee you, back in the early 90s, whenever Vanilla Ice was on the screen, Ice, Ice Baby, fuck you. I hated Vanilla Ice. Even when he sold houses, I wanted him to slip in one of those rotted swimming pools where the water was all green with algae and decay. He looks like Vanilla Ice. He just gets under your skin. Add the international accent. And I know some people are like, oh, DT, that's fucked up. Yeah, you know how many people are like, oh, DT with your New York accent. This fucking guy from New York. Look at this guy, this Italian guinea from New York. I get it too. Grayson Waller reminds me of Vanilla Ice. Son of a bitch. And I say that with love. And I'm nothing against the man personally. So anyway, if they have a match, I'm going to go with AJ Styles winning. But I don't think they're going to have a match. I think somebody is going to show up. Oh, could you imagine if Omos shows up for no reason? But, all right. With that said, I think I'm like 2 minutes off. To that special someone that's swears he's going to guide me to the promised land in 2022 with this channel, I hope you enjoyed this hour-long look at AEW, NXT, and a few other topics as well. Don't forget, Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, I will be up here for New Year's Eve. I will be going off my keto diet. It's almost 3 years that I've been on keto. I will be eating pizza on the show. I will be eating cannolis on the show. I will be having champagne on the show when it hits midnight. I will tell you right now, Saturday, I will be shitting my brains out because my body has not had pizza or bread or sugar in 3 years. So I am going off keto so we could celebrate, have fun, have some laughs. I'm going to show video. I'm going to simulcast video from all across the world. The fireworks displays like I did last year. I have that template still saved. So I should have no problem reactivating that. So we will see some simulcast of some. I probably will not be able to stream the audio part of that, but you will see a whole bunch of countries all around the world celebrating New Year live. We'll have the chat room going. We will chat about Toni Storm. We will chat about anything you want to talk about. 10 p.m. to around 1 a.m., we will rein in 2022 together. I said 22. 22. Yeah, which is technically true. Whenever I say 22 instead of 2022, that's almost like when Vince says W-E instead of WWE. I think Kevin Owens did that Monday as well. He said, I'm going to win the WE Championship. Yeah, the WE Championship. So I hope you join me Friday. It'll be fun. We will have a great time. Down to earth. Now, day one is Saturday. I will be here doing a recap. Hopefully by Saturday night, halfway through the show, when we talk about, I don't know, Riddle and Orton defending the titles, and then all of a sudden you'll see me going like this. That means I got to take a massive dump. Villain, are you seriously asking me about Roman Reigns on a Wednesday where we only talk NXT and AEW? But I'll be more than happy to answer your super chat, my friend. I never turn it down. Roman Reigns, I believe, will defeat Brock Lesnar at day one. We'll have some swerve from Paul Heyman, and this will lead to the Royal Rumble, which I believe Brock Lesnar will win the Royal Rumble, even though he doesn't need to win the Royal Rumble to get a championship shot. But Brock Lesnar will go into WrestleMania to take on Roman Reigns, and I believe at WrestleMania he will defeat Roman Reigns for the title, and then Roman Reigns will get a much-deserved rest. I still feel that way. I could change my mind, but I'm sticking with that. So, Goldberg is not winning it. So anyway, I'm out here, everyone. I want to thank you for a fun night tonight, you know, on point with a lot of topics. We got into more than I thought. I will be putting timestamps up tonight. So we are ending a little bit early. So again, much love. Have a great rest of the week. If you are going out Friday night and you cannot check out the show live, I wish you now a very happy, healthy, and safe New Year's Eve. All the best to you. And believe me, even if you're not around Friday night, tune into the replay, because I will definitely have some unrehearsed, unwritten words of appreciation for all of your support over the last 2021. I have, honestly have some positive outlook for 2022. It has nothing to do with the shows. It has to do about everything going on in this world. So I thank you, everyone. Hopefully I'll see you Friday night at 10 o'clock. And if you can't come on right away because Rampage is on, join me at 11. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Fucking Ken called me a Paul Heyman wannabe. Good night, everybody.